Welcome to the Licking County Locker Room. Here on Kate 98.7, each week we feature a local high school from Licking County, interviewing the athletic director, coaches, players, and more, live at Ship Brothers Brewing on Church Street in downtown Newark. Tonight's show is brought to you by Ship Brothers Brewing, Shamrock Printing, All Star Embroidery, Q's Designer Jewelers, Licking Memorial Health Systems, Lashley Tractor Sales, Desserts Bakery, Buckeye Games and Flea Market, Park Lanes, Wright Brothers Power, and the Toy Store. Now, here's Brian Mays with the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7.
And a pleasant good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Licking County Locker Room. We are live at Ship Brothers Brewing, 23 West Church Street in downtown Newark. Another gorgeous Monday night. No reason you can't come down here, get yourself something to eat, something to drink, and just have a wonderful time. And tonight, our focus is the Heath Bulldogs and their athletic department. We'll be speaking to the Bulldogs here in just a couple of minutes.
The Licking County Locker Room with Brian Mays, live at Ship Brothers Brewing in downtown Newark, here on Kate 98.7.
And welcome back, everyone. Happy to be joined by Heath head football coach Tim Ward and athletic director Bo Hansen. Guys, thanks so much for joining us here tonight. Hopefully we wanted to talk about a win over Granville, but I was with another media person today, and they said, is Heath a Jekyll and Hyde team? And I disagreed with that comment, because what I saw from the second half of the Norwayne game and then what you guys were able to do to a Granville defense that hadn't been scored on since the first game, I think the team is playing extremely well, a few plays here and there, but I think this is one of the strongest 2-2 teams in the area. Your thoughts, Coach?
Yeah, I appreciate that. First of all, thank you for having us on. But yeah, I agree with you. I think our team has shown a lot of physicality, a lot of growing up. I guess what a lot of people don't understand is we're kind of riddled by injuries a little bit right now. We've had a couple fluke instances take place with some of our starters, and so we had to move some guys around. That Norwayne game took a little bit of time to adjust those guys, and we had a couple things that didn't go our way in the first half, and we kind of recouped and at halftime and set our goals ahead of us and said they're all still there. And I mean, we've been playing like a different team since halftime of that game and just came up a little bit short last week against obviously a really good and really talented Granville team. But I think playing those games set us up for what we want to do in the future.
Yeah, and the goals are still there of what you want to accomplish. I mean, last year you really wanted to host a playoff game if possible in week 11 and just didn't have enough victories to get that done. That's still right there if you have a strong second half of this season. And I guess my next question is the mentality of the ball club right now. After two tough games where you played well enough to get a win, what's the mindset? How are you feeling about the group at this point?
Well, the guys, they understand what our goals are, and they understand that in order to accomplish our goals, sometimes you have to be willing to kind of put it all on the line. Our goals are always to win our league, to make the playoffs, and then to try to make a run at the playoffs. And this year, the goal specifically is trying to go at least four rounds deep in the playoffs. So that's something that's never been done in school history. And you're not gonna get those things done by scheduling wins. You gotta schedule teams that are gonna challenge you and push you to compete in ways that you haven't competed before. And I mean, if you look at Division 5, the only time that we would ever match up against Norwayne is week 15. And so we kind of preached to our guys that we were basically playing late playoff games by scheduling them in week 3. And then obviously Granville being two divisions bigger than us and a team that will make a run themselves, that's only going to make us better down the road to play against teams like that. So our guys are very aware of what our goals are and of where we are. They understand that we need to push ourselves in those situations, and hopefully 3-4 weeks from now, 7 weeks from now, we'll be winning those games.
Well, you start with Zanesville coming up, and they're obviously riding high after getting their first victory last week in double overtime over Lakewood. Still obviously early in the week, but this is obviously a team, a program you're familiar with. And I don't think Doyle, I can't remember if he played last year when you guys had him or not, but we saw him week one against Newark, and he was a very crafty quarterback, could run it or throw it. So an early scouting look up at Zanesville right now.
Yeah, he ran all over the place against us last year. we went into the fourth quarter last year up 11-0 and lost 22-11, and that one still burns, and that one's kind of fueled the fire a little bit over the last year. So yeah, we expect him to definitely get the ball and play quite a bit this week. And all their guys, they just have athletes all over the field. And it seems like right now they're a team who's trying to find their identity a little bit. They've ran several different offensive schemes, several different defensive schemes. And they finally kind of, I think, figured some things out Friday night. And so we look for them to be prepared and ready to go and try and knock us down this Friday. But I mean, they have athletes everywhere, so they're definitely going to present some matchup problems.
And you talked about the competition that you've played, and I'm going to throw Licking Valley in there. Really, four kind of different teams that kind of schematically throw different things at you. Now, I would say Norwayne and Granville and Valley will test you physically, but I guess that also kind of helps knowing that your team has to prepare for a lot of different looks, whether it's a dual threat quarterback, power running game, whatever the case may be. So that's got to help this team moving forward also.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and we specifically try to schedule it that way to get teams that give us very different looks early in the season. I mean, even going to Liberty Union, you know Liberty Union is going to come with a huge offensive and defensive line, and so they're going to test our ability to be physical up front. And then Licking Valley is always going to be extremely physical, extremely well coached, extremely disciplined in their approach. Norwayne, obviously, with a big power running game and a defense that flies all over the field. And then Granville with the athleticism and the kind of the combination that they have of skill and power and speed. I think you're right. It does present four different challenges, and it's has definitely prepared us to get to the point where I feel like we're comfortable kind of with whatever opportunity and whatever challenge comes our way.
Athletic Director Bo Hansen joins us as well. And Bo, obviously you've seen the work that Coach Ward has done here with the program and gotten it to a level where he wants to compete, not just for an LCL championship, but get into the postseason. Is this something that folks could see from him when he took this job a few years back, and then what you've been able to see as his boss over the last couple of years as well?
I believe so, yes. And I mean, the schedule we put together for this year, Coach Ward and I mean, we discussed it while we were putting it together, and those last three games that we played were definitely in line to put us, you know, on track to get to that goal of being in that week four playoff game at the end of the season.
What has impressed you about, and I'm not going to just say the senior class, but this, really, I'm looking at the talent level of what we've seen across the board in a lot of different athletics here at Heath, and it just seems like success, commitment, multiple sports, it seems like the kids have really bought into a lot of things at Heath High School right now.
I think it's a family atmosphere. It's in the building. When you walk down the hallways of Heath High School, man, you feel like you're in part of a family, and that continues with the extracurricular activities the whole way across the board after school's over.
And this is maybe a question for both of you, because you want your athletes to be in the best physical condition that they can, but you do have a lot of multi-sport athletes on this team, Coach, and I know you want your coaches to be able to have this, you know, chance and opportunity. So how do you kind of balance that? How do you work with the other coaches? Bayless wants to play the best he can when he's playing basketball and things of that nature. So what is the balance that you look for from a coach and then from your peers as well? And whoever wants to take that first.
Go ahead.
I think in any of those at Heath, to be successful, we have to have the multi-sport athletes, and it gives them an opportunity to shine in another atmosphere, you know, which I think they thrive on. If you're a competitor, it doesn't matter whether you're playing jacks or you're playing football or you're playing basketball. You want to win, and that's what those kids believe, and that's why they compete as much as they can. And as far as coaches sharing, they do a great job communicating with each other. We know we have athletes that you know, are all, some of them are on two teams at the same time, you know, especially in the fall with cross country. And the communication with the coaches allows that to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from a coach's standpoint, I mean, yeah, it'd be great if guys were focused on football 12 months out of the year. But that's not what I want. I mean, I graduated from Heath. I was a multi-sport athlete myself. And I want our guys competing. There is nothing that prepares you for competition like being in the midst of competition. And so, whether it's on the basketball court or on the wrestling mat or on the track or on the baseball diamond, whatever it is, I want our guys competing at the highest possible level that they can. And all I ever ask from them is just, especially like over the summer and in the preseason, hey, just, if you're in Heath, you need to be at our workouts. If you're not in Heath and you're someplace competing, win. Go win. Find a way to compete. Get yourself better. Make your team better. And be all in while you're there.
How do you see the participation now? We're a couple years past the pandemic and maybe some apprehension there. Do you feel like the involvement and the enrollment is up with the extracurricular sports?
Currently, I think it depends on the sport. I mean, we have more football athletes right now than we've ever had in the history of the program. I think we had to buy extra jerseys this year. We had a huge senior female class last year graduate from soccer, so our girls' soccer numbers are down. But across the board, kids are participating.
The changes that could be coming, and this is a question that you're probably not going to be able to answer, and I totally understand, and it can be for both of you, but, you know, the LCL, we're adding Mount Vernon coming up here, and we know expansion to the western part of the county is coming, and it's going to impact, obviously, Heath as well, and actually the whole county and surrounding area. You know, we've seen a lot of changes with the OCC over and more in central Ohio. Do you think the LCL will... We've already got the two divisions, but do you think there could be more changes coming down the road once Intel is here and some other things develop from that?
I think if I had an answer for that, I'd probably play the lottery. I mean, I think adding Mount Vernon, you know, was good for the big schools.
Mm-hmm.
It gave them a sixth member, which evened out the league. And then in the long run, it helped the smaller division as well because it evened out the crossover game. So as far as that goes, I mean, that was a good thing. Coming in from the west, I'm not sure where that goes.
What about from a scheduling perspective? I mean, would you look to schedule maybe some of the schools that were D5, D4 that maybe go to a D3 or D2 because of rivalries that you've had? Or is that something that you're just going to have to take it team by team, game by game, and look at that in the future?
Yeah, I think we'll just take it game by game and season by season. But absolutely, I mean, one of the things that I was a little bit upset about when the league expanded so much was I truly believe if we're going to have a league, play everybody in the league. And so I was kind of shocked that there were a lot of teams that didn't want to play other teams in the league. We always would play anybody. So I think adding some teams to the league to make two bigger divisions kind of helps with that because you still play everybody within your division. And then you can schedule some of those crossover games and those rivalry games, which is why we kept Granville and kept Licking Valley on the schedule because we like playing those rivalry games. And again, playing those bigger schools that have sustained long-term success is only going to make us better as we go.
And also, when you change divisions, how much does that come into play if you go D4 to D5 or back and forth? Because I guess that's my second question is when do you know about that? And I'm guessing the schedule may already be set up when you might hear something from the OHSAA.
You're talking OHSAA division?
Yeah.
That comes out every 2 years. They readjust that all based off your EMIS numbers from the population of your school. So, I mean, I don't look at that as a final approach to how we're scheduling our regular season games. I mean, if you want to get to the end, you got to beat some of those teams anyway. You know, so that's more for tournament placement in my eyes than it is for how we look at scheduling out. Now, I would never go schedule anything without getting with Coach Ward to make sure we're on the same page. And we've had several conversations on some of those teams that, you know, why we want to continue to play them or why we don't want to continue to play them. And it's not based off their division. It's based off what's best for our kids.
Anything to add to that, Coach?
No, just, I mean, it doesn't really matter to me, Division Four, Division Five. I mean, I was pretty excited a couple years ago when we moved down to Division Five, and then you look at our region, and we're in a region with Ironton and Portsmouth West and Wheelersburg and Barnesville and Harvest Prep. I'm like, well, I mean, good thing we moved to Division Five. Like, no, I mean, so it doesn't matter to me. Like Bo said, you got to beat the teams anyway, so.
And that it, you bring up Ironton, I think they're just a perfect example. They had Moeller come to their place a couple of years ago, and they just this past weekend went to, I think, a Division I power in West Virginia, and they're getting kicked out of their league in the Ohio Valley. So I guess you never know what might transpire, and that's why I'm just kind of curious about the scheduling moving forward, because we have seen a lot of schools in Ohio have to schedule West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Indiana, and I think that just takes away from the to have you guys play Norwayne, where it's a battle of Central and Northeast Ohio. That's what makes Ohio high school football so special, my personal opinion.
I agree. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
That's the first time they both agreed with me, so I'm going to take that as I can. Let's take a minute and pause for station identification. You're listening to the Licking County Locker Room here on Tate 98.7.
This is the Licking County Locker Room on WCLT 254 CT Newark, Kate 98.7.
Welcome back to the Licking County Locker Room. Brian Mays, head coach Tim Ward, and athletic director Bo Hansen here from Heath High School. Just a couple more questions. They're chomping to get some food, and I'll let them go here in just a minute. But, coach, to you, let's talk about the senior class, because we saw them as I joined the station as a sophomore group, and they had a nice run. And, you know, it was peaks and valleys last year. And as we talked a couple of weeks ago, they know their time is now. So two questions. One, how do you think they're dealing with this last run as a Heath Bulldog? And what are they doing to set up success for the guys, the sophomores, the juniors, and the freshmen, once they leave here?
Yeah, well, to answer the first question, just – They have been bought in the entire time. I mean, ever since the first day of summer, they have been fully bought in to every goal that we have laid out in front of them, to everything we've talked about. Just the spirit that they came in with this year, that's so much different than what we've seen out of them and out of everybody else the last few years. They're just ready. They know that they've played two, three, some of them 4 years, and now it's their time. It's their senior year. It's their chance to put their mark on our program and on the history of Heath football. And I think they're just kind of fully taking that all in and taking it to the to every bit of opportunity that they can get. And then I forget what your second question was.
Just how they are laying the groundwork for the younger classmen as they take their
Yeah, race. Gotcha. So, I'll
start. You just said I talk too much. I know that's where you were going with that.
Yeah, myself. No, look, like, for instance, with our offensive line, we were returning five starting linemen from last year, all of which were going to be seniors. And we sat down and we talked to some of those guys, and we decided that what we thought was best for our team was to take one of our starters and move him to defense, and to take a younger kid and put him there on the offensive line with J.J. Holloway. And you can see that the senior offensive linemen have just taken him under their wing, and they've pushed him to become better. They never once looked down on him because he's younger or anything like that. If anything, they expect more out of him because he's a younger guy getting to step up and have an opportunity to play. And then you look at guys like Braden Bayless, all winter long, all spring long, all summer long, has called guys to go up and throw the football and throw routes at the school. I mean, last night he was up there throwing on his own with a couple freshmen and a junior. So I don't think he ever has looked at those guys and said, man, those guys are freshmen, they can't do anything for us. I think he's looked at those and said, those guys have these particular skills or talents. That's where they can add and maybe fill a void that we're missing. And so it's always been an opportunity to bring those guys along, not hold them down.
And, Bo, before we let you go, big night coming up Friday night at Swain Field. Why don't you give some details of what the Bulldog program and what they're looking to do Friday evening?
Well, I've got Zanesville coming to town. You know, it's military and first responders appreciation night, so we're opening the gates for all of our military, active or veterans, and first responders. Invite them to come to the game, free admission. We'd like to have them on the sidelines with our players. during the national anthem. So before the game ever starts, we're inviting them down on the sidelines and expecting a big crowd, a lot of cheering, and get that Bulldog victory.
Absolutely. And I think that means a lot to these kids, too, to have the folks that, you know, when we were all young, we looked up at firemen, policemen, and the military, and to have them be arm in arm, if that doesn't get some chills going down your spine, I don't know what would.
Absolutely. And we'd love to have at least one member standing with every one of our players on our roster on the sideline.
Outstanding. Well, no, it'll go well Friday night. Guys, appreciate your time. Thanks so much. Go Bulldogs.
Thanks for having us.
Go Dogs.
We'll take a timeout, come back with a couple of players from the Heath Bulldog football team. That's next, as you're listening to the Licking County Locker Room, live from Ship Brothers Brewing, here on Kate 98.7. And we have a couple of senior dogs with us right now, quarterback Braden Bayless and lineman Chase Armstead. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. And I asked Coach this question, and just overall, your mentality, I mean, every team wants to be 4-0 after two games, but you're 2-2. The goals are still there of what you guys want to accomplish. How are you feeling about the ball club right now?
We're feeling pretty good. We've been working every day, doing everything we can to be prepared for every team and making sure that, you know, we're staying on track, going where we need to go.
Yeah, I definitely feel like that. I mean, everybody went in the off season. We bought in. Everyone put the hard work in. I mean, we have the guys. We have the talent. And obviously, right now we're 2-2. We'd like to be 4-0. But I think honestly, these two losses, they're gonna hurt more than anything. I think we're gonna take those losses and we're gonna grind out the rest of the season. And I think this definitely helped. I mean, it hurts obviously to lose, but it helped a lot. Like being able to go in those games, be against a hard team and not going in against a team that we're going to beat 55-0, but be able to play a team that we would face later in the playoffs, like Coach Ward said. And I think that's really going to help us in the long run of the season.
Well, again, I like the mentality. We did the Norway game, and it's 28-0, and you're wondering, what Heath team are we going to see come out in the second half? And it was a totally different team. The defense made a play. You get a block punt. You score a 15-yard touchdown pass. They hadn't given up a touchdown since second quarter of the first game, and you had over 400 yards total offense, 33 points. So you're doing, I think, the things you need to do to get a victory, and I got to think that's got to help the confidence with six games to go.
Definitely. I mean, when we first came out the gate, when we started playing super well, it really just gave us a reassurance about what we can really do. And all it really told us is we can do more. We can do so much better than our first four games.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. Like, going in against Norway, I mean, we're down 28-0. And, like, to be honest, past teams, we would have given up. We would have went in, we would have lost 56-0, maybe scored one touchdown. But I think this group is a special group of guys, and we've really bought in as a team together. Senior classes just came together, and we fought. We didn't want to lose that game, and we're just a couple key plays that kind of threw it off that game, and especially that first half going down 28-0. And I mean, if we could have maybe got one touchdown or held them down one, we might be able to come back. But I'm just glad that everyone went and fought and everyone came together as a team and didn't just give up.
So I don't like to compare folks, but I'm going to compare because that's what we do in the media. You know, we saw you as a sophomore starter. Hayden Rogers, sophomore starter at Licking Valley. Steelmeister, sophomore starter at Newark. The progression that all three of you have shown, not just on the field, but just your leadership qualities, how have you been able to grow as a player and as a leader of this Bulldog team?
I would say as my sophomore year, I was with a group of guys, a senior class. I mean, great athletes. It was really hard to lead on that team. I mean, I was a super young kid. They were a senior class. And they actually, towards the end of the season, they let me, actually lead a little bit. And I think that honestly helped going into my junior year. And being such a young team, it was able to, instead of just, having senior class, we were able to all grow together. And it kind of, helped my leadership as not just, an individual, but, being able to do it as with a team that I'm going to grow together. And I'm going to go into our senior year and have the exact same team. I think it honestly helped the chemistry more than anything, and that just helped me just become a great leader for the team. And like you said, Hayden Rogers, I mean, he's a great athlete, and he's done amazing. I mean, he leads the team perfect. Steelmeister, great quarterback too. Both of them are great quarterbacks, and they both go in, they lead the teams. And I think both of us all going in and starting as a sophomore, I think that's really helped. And I would say they say the same thing. They think that being able to play as a sophomore really helps, and as you grow with the team, just the more you play and the more you play with the guys, you get good chemistry and it helps you with the league.
And I think in all three cases, too, they were small junior classes, which while they allowed you, you almost kind of were forced to take the reins. And I should say a small senior class when you were a junior. That's what I was alluding to. So really it has been... as the quarterback, your ball club for a little bit. And Chase, I wanted to bring you in here. What's it like as a lineman when then you start seeing this guy running all over the field? The play's broken down and he's on one hash and the next thing you know, he's on the next hash. So how do you even prepare when he gets those legs going?
Oh, I completely trust him. Like, completely and utterly. I've been playing with him since I was like super little, so I know what he can do, and he can do a lot. So most of the time, I just trust him. I trust that he knows what he's doing. I trust that he's going to do what's best for our team, and he's going to try to win the game. So I always just try to figure out where he is and block
him. Well, and the run you had against Norwayne, where I swear you went 80 yards all the different ways you go. When a play breaks down, what goes through your mind? I mean, I know you're thinking, got to get the first down to start with, something of that nature, but do you look to see if you can throw first, or if you've got that green grass in front of you, you're going to go?
Yeah, absolutely. I do look to throw first, but, like honestly, like, if you look at it, I mean, yeah, it looks like I'm running around, but I'm getting key blocks down the field that are, like, receivers, like, past years, they wouldn't have been able to, like, they would have made the decision to blindside block someone, but as, like, the players have grown, they've learned to, like, just, like, be able to, like, get in the way, kind of shed a block so I can get around them, and just, like, them being there to, like, give extra help. And it's, like, it's not always just me doing things. My players always are down there helping me, too, get blocks on the field that can make, like, help me make a move and stuff. And, like, sometimes, like, when the line, like, everyone wants to say the line, oh, you just drive one around, you're doing this. Like, no, the line blocks amazing, dude. They've blocked. I mean, there's times where I scramble just to make a play. And it's not because our line's, like, not blocking anybody. It's nothing's open downfield, and I'm trying to just make something out of nothing. And it's not – they block – I mean, they've improved so much since their sophomore year. I mean, as a group, to be able to go and have a junior year – like, sophomore year, we had super young line. We had one senior, four sophomores. And to be able to have them grow up as a junior class, and, like, everyone, basically juniors on that team, to grow together as a team, to go into our senior year – that's the best thing that could have happened to us. I mean, the chemistry of our offensive line that I have with them right now is unbelievable.
So, talk about line play. How much is it physicalness versus having the right scheme and being in the right play, whether it's a run play, a pass play? Is it, you know, one more important than the other, or is it mainly just a mixture of it? Because I agree with Braden. I think the physicality has taken a huge step up, but if you're not in the right spot, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, we work a lot on that. Like, our steps, that's our key. Like, that's what we do. We like to take our steps, and what it really is, it's really both, to be honest. If you don't have any aggression, you're not really going to get any push off the O-line, off the D-line. And if you have no technique, they're just going to get around you. Like, but I would say with our O-line coach, that's his thing. He likes technique. He likes to take our steps. He likes to enforce all that really well.
And if you're looking at the youngsters that will be replacing you on the line, because make or break, you could have great skilled players, but if you can't block them or you can't tackle them, it doesn't mean anything. So what are the keys you give to the youngsters as they learn, I think, probably the most important player or position that can be in football?
I would say you just really have to keep your eyes open, and you have to stay aware. Being on the O-line, there's always something happening. It's never really boring. You hit somebody every play. So I say you just got to stay really aware, and you have to always know what you have to do.
And then when it gets nasty, how do you keep your mentality? Because you're always going to face one or two players that want to just see if they can get you to maybe smack on the head, get that personal foul. So how do you keep your calm in the midst of when you're battling in the trenches and somebody's looking to get that personal foul?
Because my O-line's always there for us. Like, the other person beside you, like, I'm a guard, so the tackle, he's always there making sure that I'm staying in line. I'm always there making sure that he's staying in line. It's always like a family thing, making sure that nobody gets in trouble, making sure that everybody can stay on the field without any penalties or flags.
But it's got to be hard sometimes. All right, guys. So you've got Zanesville coming up, and as Coach alluded to, that was a game you had in the basket last year, and they just made a couple plays in the fourth quarter. I don't know if it's a revenge tour or things of that nature when you just want to get victories, but talk a little bit about playing Zanesville Friday night.
So, like, last year, definitely a hard. They made some adjustments at halftime, and it really hurt us on offense, and we didn't really have a good game. I mean, honestly, that was probably one of my worst games last year, and definitely hurt going out of halftime, having an 11-0 lead, and we just couldn't really do anything on offense. We couldn't get our offense clicking, and then that, like you said, that Drew Doyle kid came in fourth quarter and had, I mean, just like an absolute perfect fourth quarter. We couldn't stop him running. He was running all over us, but I definitely wouldn't say they're slept on. I mean, yeah, they're 1-3. They just beat Lakewood double overtime. Lakewood's definitely improved from last year. They're not like, have you seen last year and the past years? They've been 0-10 and 1-9, but they're a lot better team this year. They got a couple guys on their team that can do things. But Zanesville's definitely a team not to sleep on. I mean, we lost to them. We haven't beat them yet. We're 0-3 in them in high school since my freshman year. And I really think that we get this win, and we beat Zanesville. I think it's really going to set up our season for this back half and get our league play in.
Is there any concern about getting too hyped up for a team that you really want to beat and things of that nature? Because I go back to the calmness and the mentality. Can you be too concerned about wanting to beat somebody?
I feel like we have a lot of guys. I think our team is, we get hyped up, but we know how to control it. Like, we get in the games, and I think, like you said, like personal fouls and stuff, we don't got to worry about that. A lot of our guys, past years, our team is so much more, like, I honestly would say more mature, and we know that we have to go to the team first. We can't make dumb decisions like that and get personal fouls and have a huge run or a huge pass and get it called back 15 yards for something we did. Like, we've learned that, and everyone's matured from their sophomore year all the way up to their senior year, and we don't have to worry about that, honestly. Like, we don't have to worry about any of those mistakes because we know we got each other's back, and if something happens, we're going to be there for each other.
And Chase, your thoughts for Friday night?
For Friday night, it's going to be a really good game because they always have a lot of athletes that can always just, they can do stuff. It's just, there's no doubt about it. They can win the game if they really put their mind to it. They have people. They have guys. So I think it's going to be a great game.
You know, one thing I saw in the paper, and I think a lot of people know this happens in Licking County with how close the schools are and things together, but you have that all-star game at the end of the year that I think both of you will probably be a part of if you want to participate in it. But just off the field, you lift weights with maybe some rivals, and you see each other a lot in different things like that. So what is it like when you go toe-to-toe on Friday nights, but then there is still a friendship or at least a respect moving forward? Because this is a tight county. It really is. But there's a lot of good football and a lot of teams, you know, we want to beat Valley. We want to beat Granville. We want to beat Heath. We want to beat Newark Catholic. So how does that kind of work for you guys?
I go out and work out at Max Effort, and I got a bunch of Granville buddies in there. Number 7 from Granville, Drew Vahal, number 15, Kyle Kirby. And we got super close over the summer. We lifted all summer together. And going to the game, it's kind of weird, honestly. Like, I've never had that, like, super tight friendship with someone. And then, especially Drew, like, we got super close during summer. And it's kind of weird. Like, it didn't seem right. And, like, how we're that close of friends and we're on the opposite team. But it was fun though. Like, we didn't do any dirty hits or anything. We helped each other up. We were talking to each other in the game and stuff. Like, we didn't try to do cheap shots on each other. But it was fun. But it's still weird having a super close friend on a different team, knowing, all right, when we get in the hole, are we gonna go head to head? And then but it was fun. It was definitely fun.
I had a lot of friends on Zanesville my sophomore year because I used to live up there, but I had family up there. So it was really weird seeing the faces and everything of people that I hang out with. And but honestly, once you get into that game, once I get into the game, it's just, I'm in a whole different mindset. It's just like, the only people on that field that are my friends are the ones on my team, not the ones on the other one. We just want to win.
Well, I think that's great that you can have that respect and relationship and go at it as hard as you need to for four quarters, but respect. But Kirby, he's mean.
He's a real deal, man. He's good. He's definitely gonna he'll go somewhere D1 for sure. He's a stud. He's, I mean, only being a sophomore, being that size, man. His pursuit to the ball is really good. He's able to read defense really good. So it's going to be hard to game plan against him for sure.
So we're not going to say six games left because I'm very confident you guys are going to hit the postseason. But six games left in the regular season. Both of you, last question. What do you want to see from this Bulldog team? Besides going 6-0, what are you looking for as you want to make that progression and get better every single week?
I want to see better, more consistency. Like, I want to see us putting that many points on the board from the beginning of the first half to the end of the fourth quarter. I don't want to, like, have this second half team anymore. I want to have this full four-quarter team that just puts it pedal to the metal the whole game and does not let up on any of these teams, and we just want to win these games by as much as we can.
Yeah, just like Jay said, I mean, we got six games. We got six games to prove something. Obviously, we're coming off of two losses we wish we could have won, really big losses, but it's not going to hurt us in the long run. I mean, Norwin's a 4-0 team in our region, in our division, then Granville's 4-0, they're in Division 3. So, I mean, losing these games is more of a help, not maybe for the record, but for as a team. I mean, it's gonna really like make us step up as a team versus that good of a team, and to be able to like do things against them. We know we're capable of doing something now, and I think we got to really go in to these next 6 weeks and lock in. I mean, Granville and Norwin are gonna be our best teams on the schedule, guaranteed. And I mean, these teams may not be as good as them, but we got lock in still. I mean, we can't just go in and be like, all right, we got to just like have fun and practice. Like, no, we got to lock in. We got to go into the playoffs. Hopefully, we can win these next six games out and get like maybe finish season 8-2. But whatever the season is, we got to make sure we go into this postseason pretty locked in.
Guys, thanks for your time. Appreciate it. Good luck Friday against Zanesville.
Of course. Thanks for having us.
We'll wrap up this edition of the Licking County Locker Room next as you're listening live here on Kate 98.7.
At Licking Memorial Health Systems, our mission is to improve the health of the community. Our facilities utilize state-of-the-art technology that surpasses the standard for community hospitals to provide excellent health care for Licking County residents. Our health care technology features surgical robotics, advanced patient monitoring systems, cutting-edge imaging, and more to enhance patient outcomes, recovery, and safety.
Aches and pains aren't trophies. They're just barriers keeping pros like you from getting the work done. You know better than anyone that this business can be backbreaking. But that's all the more reason to partner with someone who has your back. Ferris is about helping you finish strong and feel good doing it. Ferris commercial-grade mowers feature patented suspension technology that allows you to mow faster and get more done while keeping you comfortable so you can feel good tomorrow. Visit Wright Brothers Power today. Ferris. Work hard. Feel good.
Do you have a positive attitude and enjoy working in a fun-filled environment? Parklands Bowling Center is now immediately hiring full and part-time positions for all departments. If you think you have what it takes to work in fun, food, sports, and spirits, drop off your resume today at 701 Hopewell Drive. Bowling guests are here to have fun, and it's our job as a team to make sure they are happy guests. Join our team today at Parklands Bowling Center, 701 Hopewell Drive in Newark.
Desserts Bakery, for over 8 years, serving 35 flavors of cupcakes, cookies, buckeyes, cake pops, donuts, and more. Order your custom cakes from Desserts Bakery for any occasion. 381 South 30th Street in Heath, directly across from Wyon Avenue. Life is sweeter with desserts.
Your family will love.
Everyone says it's the journey that matters. Not so at Ship Brothers Brewing. Ship Brothers is a destination in the heart of downtown Newark that is so spectacular, there's nothing like it anywhere. Come aboard to experience incredible appetizers, outstanding burgers and sandwiches, and the one-of-a-kind beer wall. What? That's right. Don't wait on a bartender anymore. Head to the beer wall and design your own tasting flight. Ship Brothers Brewing, a one-of-a-kind sensory destination.
Now's the time to place your Varsity Jacket order. The earlier, the better. For more than 20 years, All-Star Embroidery in Newark has been Varsity Jacket headquarters for schools all over Licking County. Trust their experts to help you through the whole process, from sizing to application. All steps are handled in-house, which means faster turnaround and no surprise pricing. All-Star Embroidery, 21st Street in Newark, and online at allstarembroidery-ltd.com. allstarembroidery-ltd.com.
Shamrock Printing is the county's best-kept secret. Their customer service and attention to detail makes every order perfect, whether celebrating your seniors or your school. And don't forget about them at your office. Their efficiency and pricing makes them the best choice there, too. Shamrock Printing can now print signage on all kinds of materials, like wood, metal, plastic, and canvas. Whatever you want printed, whatever you want it printed on. Shamrock Printing, South 3rd Street, Newark.
The Licking County Locker Room with Brian Mays, live at Ship Brothers Brewing in downtown Newark, here on Kate 98.7.
And we'll be back with you next Monday, live from Ship Brothers Brewing. We'll be featuring the Northridge Vikings. They'll be coming in, so hopefully you can stop in and say hi and join us as well. That'll be at 6:30 this Friday night. Our game of the week, Newark Catholic, looking to get their first victory on the season, taking on Licking Heights, 6:45, and the live kick at 7 p.m. So that'll do it tonight. Thanks to all of our guests from Heath High School. This is Brian Mays. Have a great Monday evening, everybody. You've been listening to the Licking County Locker Room, live on Kate 98.7.
This has been the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7. Each week, we feature a local high school from Licking County. Brought to you by Ship Brothers Brewing, Shamrock Printing, All-Star Embroidery, Pew's Designer Jewelers, Licking Memorial Health Systems, Lashley Tractor Sales, Desserts Bakery, Buckeye Games and Flea Market, Park Lanes, Wright Brothers Power, and the Toy Store. Tune in next week to the Licking County Locker Room here on Kate 98.7.